go. Here goes nothing, because I don't know if this is going to be good or not. We're going to try it. This is the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. We're going to talk about new media, media in general, and advertising, specifically advertising on podcasts in Podcast 599. Well, we're definitely having this seesaw weather situation in the upper Midwest and in Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's really bizarre and strange because it was zero this morning and it's going to be 45 on Friday. So this up and down situation can cause problems with plumbing. And of course, when you need emergency service, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all of these systems, and they're getting pretty complex these days, when it comes to keeping them running right, especially at home or at your business, when you have plumbing or heating, or in the summer, we're not going to talk about that, but air conditioning problems, then you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You can call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul at Ryan. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And they can help you with your heating. They can help you with your broken pipes if you have them. Wherever you are in the metro, they can get a plumber to you. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. For four generations now, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Again, in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Emergency service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Well, I didn't know if I wanted to do this podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I want to talk about the fact that we are in the middle of a big shift. Now, I've been doing media a long time. I don't have to go through the litany of all the things that I've done in radio and TV. Those businesses are now actually ancient history. They were and are two once cutting-edge technology businesses that have gone by the wayside. And we are in the middle of a shift socially and especially technological and especially with media and media usage. Now, as I said, and as I will continue to say, I'm sure, in this podcast, I didn't know and I don't know if I actually want to do this podcast, because it involves media and criticism of media, not in the sense that you're used to hearing where it's a punching bag for politicians and pundits. We're not doing that in this podcast. That gets a little old. We're talking about the business of media and the business of podcasting and how advertisers can use it effectively. So this is for business people. So this is about my business, and it's the business of podcasting and a little bit about entrepreneurship and podcasting. And I, again, not sure I want to talk too much about it. I'm not going to give you advice about how to do a podcast. I'm not going to tell you what kind of equipment to buy. Plenty of places for you to find those things out if you're thinking about doing a podcast, although I'm not even sure that's a good idea these days, especially if it's for your business, and I'll talk about that. But I want to talk about a discussion and to discuss this growing space called podcasting. And I guess we'll start with business owners, the business of business. So if you're a business owner, you know, you're probably a small business owner. And I'm an owner of a media business. And no matter how small, you know, I'm coming from two or three careers in an old line broadcast business. Being an entrepreneur takes a complete retooling of your mind. You have to change the way that you think. I have had to change the way that I think, and it's not easy, especially for a competitive, up, down, right, left guy such as myself. And a lot of that comes from experience in the radio business, where it's winner take all, and losers are losers. That's not the way digital media works. It's not the way business works in many cases. So I've had to retool the way I think, and retooling the way I think turns out to be a lot tougher than I might have imagined when I first started. I'm constantly having to just go through and sweep out the dust and the reforge new ways of thinking about business that radio has really damaged. I have brain damage suffering from radio. Now, most people in business these days are in business with small business, as I said. And it's surprising, but many businesses you think are big businesses are classified as small businesses. You can have no employees, a sole proprietorship, For tax purposes, a small business is a business up to 50 employees. A medium business is up to 250 employees. Large businesses are larger when it comes to taxes. But according to the Small Business Administration, you can have as many as 1,500 employees and still be determined to be a small business, depending on what you do, what your product is or your service, and how much revenue you have and how many employees you have. So it's a little bit arbitrary. But the exercise here is that there are many companies out there constituted in different ways, doing different things with different needs, which are considered to be small businesses. Now, we all have to start somewhere. I'm of the belief that most of us start as small businesses, and most small businesses fail at a pretty alarming rate. So again, the SBA says about 50% of small businesses fail every year. About 66% of small businesses survive 2 years, roughly. Not as many, I would imagine, survive longer. The old rule is if you can stay in business for 2 years, you can pretty much stay in business. I'm not sure that's true. I'll let you know. Google why small businesses fail. There are lots of articles. Most of them have to do with poor management and insufficient capital, or not advertising, or not communicating with your customer base, or not planning properly. Now, I can't address the management questions. Most of them had to do with sussing out a market that actually can grow. Most of them have to do with figuring out how to structure the business. Most of them have to do with finance type stuff. I don't deal with that stuff, and I wouldn't pretend to be any kind of authority about that. But I can address the media questions, and I think this is one of the key things that most of us in small business are experiencing, and it's one thing I can actually help people with, and that's advertising. Now, of course, I'm going to try to sell you advertising. The whole point of this podcast is a little bit of a departure, because I'm actually going to talk about advertising that I provide. So it's kind of a little bit of a sales piece. But at the same time, as I was working on this, so many other things came up that I don't even know how long this thing's going to be. I'm going to try to get through it as quickly as possible. So in the work I'm doing, I'm beginning to realize how big and how potentially massive podcasting is and will be as an advertising medium in itself. No, it's not radio. No, it's not quite digital. It's not social media. We're not placing ads on millions of websites. We don't have some money algorithm that maximizes your ad dollar. Those are the things you go to the big companies, downtown with the advertising agencies and so forth, but they charge a lot of money, right? And so small businesses just can't afford that kind of expertise. And one wonders sometimes when they bring 50 people to a meeting, how much expertise is actually available. But one of the things I'm beginning to learn about podcasting is its value at making a connection to your customers. And I'm not talking about you doing a podcast for your business, which is what a lot, when I go to these networking things, people say to me, oh, you help people do podcasts. No, I don't. And I don't recommend that, because you started out as a business consultant and now you're a podcaster, right? But when you combine using good podcasts as an advertising medium with good digital marketing, especially for podcasters that are hosting their podcasts, as the Bob Davis podcasts are, you get good SEO, digital marketing, and the personal connection that you can't get with old school forms of advertising. You can never get with old school, forms of advertising. And I might add, you also can't get it with purely digital forms of marketing, because digital marketing basically works the same way as traditional advertising, in the sense that it gets the word out. It just gets the word out in a totally new and different means to transit your message, right? Of course, SEO just makes sure that you come up first, or at least on the first page when somebody does a name search or a product search. But those forms of advertising, and they are valuable advertising, don't provide a personal connection. Now, you could say, well, sure it does. What about Facebook? The idea that you can boost a post on Facebook or buy ads on Instagram or Twitter or something like that. And yes, you can do that. And they do have some efficacy. But the question is whether those kinds of buys are going to give you the personal connection that someone might post something about your product or service on their own Facebook page or their own social media without prompting from an ad or without prompting from you. Will they recommend your product and your service to friends via social media or just talking to people? or in the trillions of interactions and transactions that human beings make on a day-to-day basis? That's the real question. And that's what advertising is actually all about. So that is also where podcasting can provide this human connection. It's somebody like me talking about an experience I had with a product or service. For example, if you're a yoga products company, you can advertise on podcasts that talk exclusively about yoga to yoga people. And if they're enthusiastic, you might see people, without being prompted, talking about something that they bought, a yoga mat or something, to their friends on Facebook. That's golden. That is a huge plus if that happens for you. Now, if you choose a general topics podcast like my podcast, then you're getting your message out to a larger and wider audience, a broader sociographic and demographic, because it's general topics. And you have the choice of doing a very specific type of podcast or more general topics types of podcasts. This is something broadcast radio, print, and broadcast television cannot give you, and that is the direct targeting to a direct audience that's bonded with the person doing the podcast. Small businesses persist in spending thousands of dollars to advertise in local flyers, neighborhood newspapers, even radio, in an effort to get their message out, because that's what we've always done before, and that's, you know, right? That's what works, because we've always done it that way before. Oh, the broadcasters will try. You know, they'll say things like, well, we podcast all of our shows, but these do not have the personal touch of a podcaster in the business to podcast only, because they're not podcasts. They're basically replays of radio shows or a couple of guys that do a radio show sitting around a radio studio. It's not the same as somebody who does their own podcast, or if you will, a pure play podcaster. Now, this is controversial, and I'm sure there are people that will not agree with what I'm saying. This isn't, I'm not giving you a set of facts. I'm giving you the world the way I see it. And you may not agree. I think it's true. I think it is true that just because radio stations podcast their shows, it doesn't make them the kinds of personal podcasts. Because the radio stations, for example, would never let someone do a show about Roman history, but there are podcasts that deal exclusively with Roman history. So if you're really into Roman history or World War II fighter planes, there are podcasts that you can find that address them specifically. About 30% of the public listens to podcasts. This is a number that is growing weekly. I think it's wrong. I think it's much greater than that, because how do you measure it? There are something like 150,000 podcasts on iTunes alone, maybe more. And of course, there is wheat and chaff. But the thing is, today's chaff could be tomorrow's wheat, and you just don't know. The great value of podcasts is if you find one that you like and you advertise on that podcast, then you've made a step in the right direction. Even podcasts with small audiences can be effective transmitters of a message. Now, we all do it differently. Some of us do stuff per inquiry. I don't like that. I would prefer to sell people personal endorsements. Some sell mentions only, where they just mention somebody and they sell it. We all charge different amounts for different reasons. Everybody has different business models. It's such a new industry, if you'll pardon the use of the word. You know, I'm not sure podcasters even know what they have, and I'm not sure they even know what to do with it, especially those that haven't had any experience in media of any kind, whether it's sales in radio or doing radio or anything like that. Now, it really doesn't matter in the end, because no matter what an individual podcaster charges, it's probably going to be a better value than print or even radio. Now, why? Well, part of it is, on the radio, if you buy one ad, and you'll hear this all the time because I hear it all the time, well, I can buy an ad for $40 on the radio. Except when they run that ad, you have to buy another ad, and then you have to buy another ad. And this is the whole thing where they're constantly coming to you and upselling you larger and larger schedules, because they need you to buy more and more schedules. A, because they have to pay for the radio station, but beyond that, you have to keep buying ads to stay on the air. So that $40 is really a lot more than $40, because you can't just buy one. The thing about podcasts is, all of us podcasters leave our podcasts up. So if there's an ad in the podcast, a mention, something to that effect, well, that's going to be up there as long as that person's podcast remains posted online or on iTunes somewhere. So there's that. So I want to talk to you about the value of low mileage, fleet maintained, government vehicles. You've heard me talking about xgovernmentcars.com and xgovernmenttrucks.com. This is the one and only auto dealer in Minnesota specializing in off-fleet government vehicles. Just talking to Ed Johnson the other day, and of course they have the Crown Vicks, the Dodge Chevy Chargers, they have SUVs, but specifically Ed has a line on Homeland Security and Border Patrol SUVs that have very low mileage. And these things are like gold because they're great. First of all, no one can tell that they're not necessarily new vehicles. They're great SUVs. We're talking about Expeditions and Yukons. So here's what you do. First of all, let me tell you, X Government Cars has more than 30 lenders. They can get you approved fast. If you have a job and you need a car, you can get approved. And you can get approved online, which is fantastic. They do give cash discounts. They certainly take trades. Ed pays the highest value for trades every single day. And they are great government-maintained professional fleet vehicles. And that's what's wonderful about them. So we're talking about Expeditions, as I said. Yukons, they still have the Dodges and the Ford Crown Vicks and the Chevy Impala V8s and more. X Government Cars, now open at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. You can call them at 763-777-8782. That's 763-777-8782. Go online and check out the selection or get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. Here is the bullhorn.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Okay, so let's get back to the change going on. There have been 7 iterations of the iPhone, right? And I don't know how many iterations of the BlackBerry and Android devices, Galaxies, smart pads, phones, you know, whatever. And as we move into more powerful and easier to use versions of smartphone devices and pad devices, as well as the software, the apps that go on them, you're getting better and better tools to watch and listen to whatever you're interested in watching and listening to. This is really, really, really important for advertisers to understand. There are thousands of choices in each category: sports, business, fortune telling, even weather, politics, partisan politics, news, and specialty podcasts about sports cars, motorcycles, whatever, art, you know, whatever the interest of the user is available. Now, usually if you watch YouTube, you see ads are inserted, and that's generally been the way people have figured out how to do things. But what's starting to happen is podcasters and people that do YouTube are starting to realize they can do demonstrations, they can do commercials within their videos, and those are golden. Those are the ones that you want to get. The inserted ads are great, but they're not necessarily going to persuade the way a person demonstrating your product in a YouTube channel or talking about it on the podcast is going to be able to persuade. But the bottom line with all this is, with all the tools, software and hardware, for example, YouTube knows what you watch, and so they serve up suggestions of videos you might want to watch similar to that, sometimes slightly different. iTunes does the same thing. All of them have some kind of algorithm that says, oh, you like history podcasts, look at this. So that means more usage. It means that people in on the ground floor of these businesses, the podcast with the most content, that is the most episodes. So this is 599. This weekend, I will hit 600. Other people have more than I have, other people that have less. But when you're on the ground floor of podcasters that have 76 or 100 or 200 or 300 or 600 podcasts, that means more listens, it means more clicks, it means more subscriptions. And if your message is in those podcasts or a good portion of those podcasts, you're not getting charged for that. Again, that's just running and running and running. This kind of content for everything is exploding. The collective, hey, did you watch, you know, Adam 12 last night or Miami Vice last night, is becoming, hey, did you hear this podcast that this guy does about the history of Rome? Or this guy is great, I like this guy. Or did you see this video that these people put up about this dog that can say hello? Now, one of the things that is happening, and I have to use politics as an example, and I apologize for that because I don't want to get politics in this, but the media feeds on every bit of controversy coming out of the White House because of an individual who happens to be president. These little daily vignettes become the conversation of the day on social media and when people talk to each other about what's going on. Did you see the tweet from Donald Trump on blah, 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 blah? Somebody throws up a meme based on a comedy routine, based on a controversial figure. They repost a video. This has happened in the election, and it has happened all through the primary season and after the election, with all the reaction to its outcome, as I have talked about. We're on the cusp of a new media platform that is being developed, or new media platforms being developed, and old media platforms fading away. as CBS News and NBC News cut their newsroom budgets, Vice News and BuzzFeed and TMZ are building on their successes online and on social media and investing in newsroom resources. People who work in the industry already know that they can move to the digital side and often do. They are leaving the least imaginative and capable back at the radio station or the TV station, the broadcast network, and increasingly cable networks for anything. So it's already happened with things like drama. You know, if you're watching The Young Pope, you're not watching it on NBC. They wouldn't put a show like that on. If you're watching Game of Thrones, they wouldn't put a show like that on. If you're watching them, you're watching HBO Now or HBO, on demand. If you're watching House of Cards on Netflix and you're binging on it when it comes out, you're watching it on Netflix online, basically, or you're watching all the Homelands on Showtime. And people in Hollywood who make these shows are moving from networks and companies who supply shows to networks, to HBO, to Showtime, and production companies that supply them. This has already happened. This is ancient history now. And they are moving to internet entertainment companies for comedy, drama, and news. Amazon sells products. Amazon does all kinds of things, you know, daily delivery. They also have quite a selection of drama for shows that they're producing themselves. It's already happened with music. As I have documented, people don't listen to the radio for music anymore. They go to Spotify or iTunes or Pandora or whatever. The music stations that survive are the ones that help codify what's out there and help people figure out what's good to listen to. So it's happening also with information programming, and it's going to get really significant. Specific types of information programming, which is what spoken word actually is. A lot of talk radio people these days like to refer to what they do as spoken word, which for me, spoken word was what the rappers did back in the day when they'd have the poetry contests or jams. What are those things called? Poetry jams or something? Poetry slams, right? That was spoken word. But podcasts are all about talk. They're all about spoken word, right? And again, if you like Roman history, you can find podcasts about Roman history. If you like audiobooks, you can find free audiobooks, right? And some that you pay for. If you like politics, you can find a certain commentator like whoever that you like. Here I am, right? As well as talking about yoga or doing crazy travel podcasts or whatever I do. People who talk about society and politics and today's news events. And you can take it with you, as we all do. You can invite your favorite podcaster between your ears anytime you want, day or night, for as long as you want. There's no commercials, there's no interruptions, there's no nonsense. You can listen as long as you want. Well, here's where we are. We're in a cusp period in media in this country. We're at that moment in 1969 when AM radio was still king, but FM radio was brand new and people poo-pooed it. And in that cusp period, the movement toward new mediums is probably much more pronounced than is possible for rating services and research companies to pick up. Now, I'm old enough to remember AM radio, and the first time I heard stereo, I would go out and take the keys to the Buick that my dad had that had stereo in it, and I would lay in the back seat and listen to stereo and never went back to AM radio. It took once. I heard stereo. It was a crappy FM radio station, went to Allied Radio Shack, I'm dating myself, bought a stereo, saved up money, I think it was $75 or something, brought it home, and listened to FM radio from there on in, right? That's how quickly that happened. Nobody measured that. I never was part of a rating service, but the minute I heard it, I was like, I'm gone. And that's what's happening every day in this country with podcasts. Now, there's a show on Netflix that I just watched that basically portrays what happened in the O.J. Simpson trial. I think it's a great show. It's a docudrama series, basically, and it's amazing. And it shows and documents the media circus around O.J. Simpson, people watching the trial every day and not getting any work done. If you were around then, you knew what was going on. Now, we knew then that there were these sophisticated 24-hour news networks on cable. Cable television networks. They were pretty cheesy in 1980. We used to sit up all night when I was working down in Richmond and watch TBS's all-night news service, and it was terrible. Sets fell down and crazy things happened. But by 1990, they had it more refined. They were much more sophisticated, and they had a fair amount of viewership. We just didn't fully realize the extent of the power of 24-hour news. But O.J. Simpson's car chase and subsequent trial was the beginning of the realization that there was a new media that could disrupt the old way of doing things. Remember, the idea of media circus really didn't exist until O.J. Oh, yes, media circuses happened. They existed. But the O.J. trial was the clarifying event, and we knew something had changed with that trial. If the glove does not fit, you must acquit, right? And it made huge stars out of all the people involved. Well, we're in a movement similar to that right now before the O.J. trial, and that was just the beginning of the cable news network's power. We have just not seen the clarifying moment yet, which shows the true power of all these different digital resources, including podcasting. Now, I think people have already made the shift. Other podcasters I know and myself actually are noticing movement in feeds increasing every day. Analytics, whether it's Google Analytics or some other form of analytic that we use to determine who's taking our feeds. But we're seeing slow and steady growth both in usage of the website as well as podcasts as people move toward media like podcasts, YouTube videos, digital music services, on-demand TV shows, and eventually on-demand sporting events. They're already making that movement, but you're not going to hear about it. So I think it's greater than 30%, and significantly more than 30% personally. But when the clarifying event occurs, and I have no idea what it will be, then the shift will happen even faster, despite all the things. Well, what are you going to do when there's a, you know, the power goes off? What are you going to do when the internet doesn't work anymore? What are you going to do? Well, you know, the same thing was true. I worked at a radio station here in Minneapolis, where one summer we went off the air for like 4 days because the transmitters both broke down. And it was, I couldn't believe it. It was a major market radio station that was off the air because the transmitter failed. And believe me, I was pretty upset about it because that is not supposed to happen, but it does. So the internet breaking down or something, the power going off, it's not going to make any difference in the growth of these forms of media. So a lot of the things happening are happening, and people don't understand them because they don't understand the media battlefield is changing. Small businesses can't afford expensive digital marketing. Small businesses can't afford to blanket increasingly abandoned airwaves with commercials that are going to get buried in commercial ghettos known as breaks, where as many as 10 commercials get played at a time. Small businesses do not have the time or expertise to connect on a personal level with their customers, with their own podcasts, even though sometimes people advise them to. I don't advise people to do that, or the time to manage all the social media connections to plot a strategy. And yet we do because we have to, because we can't afford to pay people to do that. But podcasters like me and others can give you an entree to people's personal lives because they've already asked us into their personal life. And we have to take that seriously. I take it seriously. Most of the people that I know in podcasting take it seriously. I personally like to work with partners long term. I like to work with advertising partners who understand that just because you run one spot, the phones are not necessarily going to ring off the hook. Although it did happen with one of my clients. It is not normal. So I tell people, don't expect that. But over time, you know, especially if you stay with it and you're consistent, you will see business coming from podcasting. My experience, by the way, is also that other podcasters feel the same about their advertising partners. And I could certainly talk about this stuff all day, but very quickly, there are a lot of podcasts and podcasters. There are things called podcast aggregators. These are businesses like Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, even Stitcher that aggregate podcasts. And what they do is they offer to distribute your podcast in return for being allowed to insert ads. And it's a great deal. If you don't have your podcast syndicated or you don't have a website, these companies will then turn around and sell their website as having millions of hits because they have all these podcasts, and that your commercials, your clients, if you're buying this, which are going to sound like radio spots, and then they're inserted into the podcast without the podcaster's knowledge. This is an anathema to what podcasting is. Now, we've all agreed when we post our podcast on Stitcher or whatever, hey, here's another source. So it's not like they're doing this and we don't want them to do it. They're doing it. I think it's stupid because I don't think people hear those messages. And then there are podcasts like mine and others We host our own podcasts on our own websites. We have streaming audio, let's say. We sell personal endorsement spots, and we work directly with advertisers personally. Some of us have very small audiences, and some of us have audiences that are growing very quickly. And there is certainly room out there for everybody. Now, people are going to soak up as much content as we can put out there. That's the thing, because media usage is actually increasing because people are time shifting. So they're using more media. But small versus large, and this is really, really important because people ask me this all the time. Well, how many people listen? Well, you know, almost 100,000 feeds every month. Certainly 3 to 4 or 5,000 a day. I'd like to see more, but that's not exactly the smallest podcast on the planet. And that's just from one analytic. There are others as well. Thousands of people listening to the feed off the page and so forth. And there are bigger podcasts than mine, and there are smaller podcasts than mine. But small versus large doesn't necessarily mean one is good and the other is bad, because podcasts can be both local and worldwide at once. And it what matters is the people that are listening and how they connect with the message and how they connect with the podcaster. So we really have the ability to reach locally, but we also have the ability to reach hundreds of millions of people at once. Now, you don't reach them all at once unless you have one hell of a podcast, which I'm crossing my fingers that I'll get Jesus Christ at some point as a guest. But in any case, over time, you know, if you have a podcast that's reaching, 2 or 3,000 people a day, different podcasts that you do are still reaching people. So the lifetime total usage for or feeds for a particular podcast can be gigantic. And if your message is in there, you can reach hundreds of thousands of people and not even know it. And you'll never know it because the connections are happening on the internet. This is the point that I was making earlier about people who listen to podcasts then become part of the process. They become part of the tribe. So when they tweet or they do something on Facebook about a product or service, then it really has impact for you. And even if they don't do that, if they just tell a neighbor, hey, I tried Ryan Plumbing, or I got a car from Ex-Government Cars, or I know where you can get this stuff that's great when you're exercising called Hydrus, or all the other things that I've done, or I know a guy that can help you design a product and make it and manufacture it and get it out and sell it, or somebody that can help you with their invention or whatever. So all those spots are still running and all those people could still be talking about. That's what you're looking to get and in a very personal way. So that's something that can go on for years. And that is something, honestly, I don't see any other media that can claim that. So obviously it's kind of a pitch, but it's also, as I said, to me, very interesting what's going on. And I don't talk that much about it unless I'm talking about something I don't like about the media. This is, I'm very excited and passionate about podcasting as a business and as an industry. And there's a lot of us out here. I talked to a guy today that said, I said something like, well, you're crazy, or I'm crazy, or something like that. Or I said, well, at least because I had contacted him about something else and we exchanged emails. And I said, well, at least you know that I'm not crazy. And he goes, well, hey, you're a podcaster. And I said, oh, that's right. And he said, at one point he said, hey, we're not making any money doing this or whatever. And, we do it for this or that. And I said, let me tell you something. You may not be making any money now, but you will be making money. So this is an up and coming industry. And I'm speaking specifically about podcasting. And the thing that I love the most about it is it brings together all the digital marketing stuff and the SEO and everything else with this extremely personal, old style way of communicating through a podcast. I love doing them. I love it when people listen to them. I love it when I'm surprised. I got an email from somebody that listens to the podcast at the University of Michigan that was like, hey, I really appreciated your views on such and such. And I don't know anybody in Michigan. I have no idea who that person is. And that happens a lot where somebody will go, hey, I listen and I'm in, Santa Cruz, California. I'm like, how do you? They found it through SEO. They found it through, I don't even digital market that much. They found it because they searched for a topic and the podcast came up. Those are the kind of connections you cannot make yourself because you're not doing what I'm doing, and that's okay. And you're not doing what another podcaster is doing. So it's the connections that people make that are so valuable to advertisers. And of course, if you want to talk to me about it, I would love to talk to you about advertising. I'm not going to lie. I would love to talk to you about building this business and helping you build your business. So I hope I gave you some content in addition to, you know, pitching you. So it wasn't completely a pitch, the whole thing. Now, if you are interested in advertising on the BobDavisPodcast.com, I do have a bunch of different packages, you know, digital only, different packages for the number of spots per, you know, month. We are doing a lot of podcasts from these various festivals, Sturgis, the Air Show. I've got a couple others planned. And I can also get you on the truck, the Bob Davis Podcast mobile podcast command, if it's appropriate and it works right for both of us. So there's a lot of options. Plus, let's not forget the streaming audio, which is now on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So there's lots of options for advertisers, and I'd love to work with you. Also, I do offer consulting services for clients that are interested in buying other podcasts, not just mine, but other podcasts. This is a complex space, and navigating it can be kind of difficult, and crafting a message that works on different podcasts is something I can help you with. So you can just reach me through the BobDavisPodcast.com or email me at bdavis7843@yahoo.com, and I will get your email, or I'll get it through the message through the website, or contact me on Facebook. So that's about it. Now, in the news these days, with all the talk about foreign manufacturing with the new president, some companies are preparing to bring some of their manufacturing back to the United States. Some already have. And if your company is considering American manufacturing, if you're in the decision-making chain for this type of thing at your company, please remember DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 599 on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, especially right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Whether you just click on one of the podcasts, go to the podcast and listen, hit, you know, click the listen or listen to the stream, really appreciate it. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and subscribing on iTunes for the podcasts, and also following me on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media. Instagram is my favorite, and I really appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command. It's diesel fuel for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command at the top of the page. Click on that. Takes you right to the PayPal donate window, and then that money that you donate is used exclusively for diesel fuel. So appreciate the donations, and thanks for listening to Podcast 599.
It's quite possible that I'm your third man, girl. But it's a fact that I'm the seventh son. It's quite possible that I'm your third man, girl. But it's a fact that I'm the seventh son. About me, but soon enough you will care by the time I'm done. Let's have a ball and a biscuit, sugar, and take our sweet little time about it.